1 Peter chapter 2. The PA must not be on. I didn't hear anybody give any praise at all for the Word of God. Now, if I have to remind you, now it doesn't count. Well, it's a great time to be saved. Amen. And loving Jesus and loving one another and making Jesus known in our life. And I want to start this morning in 1 Peter chapter 2. And here we have a great revelation of Jesus Christ and Him being the chief cornerstone. And I'm going to talk to you most of this morning in the message about Jesus, about who we are. How many believe it's all right to talk about Jesus in church? I said, thank God we can talk about the Lord Jesus Christ in church, because, you know, we find out that we have to be connected to Jesus. We're going to see that Jesus is the chief cornerstone. So let me begin in verse 1 of 1 Peter chapter 2. It says, therefore, and we, you know, when you see the therefore there, it's because it tells us that the Word of God is going to endure forever. Remember I said a while ago, heaven and earth will pass away, but the Word of the Lord will remain forever. And we believe what the Bible says, don't we? All right. It says, therefore, because the Bible, the Word of God, is going to endure forever, it says, lay aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. Now, we could stop right there and preach the whole sermon, but let's don't focus on the ugly this morning. Let's don't focus on the negativity, even though these things do occur in the church. I know they don't occur with you, but they do occur in the church. Can I hear a witness? All right. It says, as newborn babes, it says, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Now, that's one of the words we'll be discussing, grow. And we'll find out we need to connect before we can grow. And once we begin to grow, then we can serve. It says, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. How many of you have ever tasted the Lord? Amen. Okay, oh, see and taste that the Lord is good. It says, coming to Him as to a living stone. Just underline that living stone phrase there if you would, because I'm titling this message, and I'm sure I won't finish today. I'm titling Living Stones. It says, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, underline that one too, are being built up a spiritual house. I thank God this morning. We're going to talk a little bit about the church too, but how many know the church is not, you know, four walls, it's not the brick, it's not the carpet here, but God is building a spiritual house. All righty, stay with me. It says a holy priesthood. We'll talk about that one. To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. It says in verse 6, therefore it is also contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he who believes on Him will by no means be put to shame, or as the interpretation of that would be, will not be disappointed. Anybody who puts their faith in God will not be disappointed. It says, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. The writer of 1 Peter here, which is Peter, is quoting Psalms 118. It says, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation.
Amen.
A royal priesthood.
Yes.
We'll talk about that in a minute. A holy nation. His own special people. Or the King James says peculiar. You're peculiar. That you may proclaim. That you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. Praise God. You were once nobody. You were once a sinner. You were once a Gentile. But God, through Jesus Christ, has pulled you out of darkness and transferred you into His marvelous light. Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have attained mercy. I tell you, God is good. Amen. I want you to focus this morning a little bit on the church, because I'm going to talk about both aspects. I know a lot of people say, you know, they don't need the church, or they don't need to go to church, or I don't know why we need to go to church. But, you know, a lot of people think they don't need the church, but it's only people that don't know the Word of God that think they don't need church. So, you know, a lot of people say, well, I'd go to church, I just don't like the people that are there. Well, how many know the people are what makes up the church? I said the people are what makes up the church. I know you never heard anybody say, well, all those people there, I just don't like them. No, it's not about the building, it's about the people. I said it's about the people, because God, so really the church is about the people. I want you to get a vision this morning, or for the next couple of weeks, and don't look at all the problems and all the other, sometimes we get our eyes on the physical things, the flaws and the defects, but I want you to focus in on the foundation of the church this morning, because I know people think, well, yeah, I don't have to be connected to a church. Or they say, well, I'm saved. They'll turn that around and say, I'm saved because I'm part of the church. How many know just because you're part of the church is not what saves you?
Amen.
I said, just because you're connected to a church, don't think that saves you unless that church is connected to Jesus.
Amen.
Because if the church is not connected to Jesus, then the church is not going to save you.
Right.
And the church can't save you.
Right.
Are you with me? So go back up and look at verse 6, and let's just kind of get into this, because I want you to understand, first of all, who Jesus. I told you I'm going to talk about Jesus just a little bit here, okay? In verse 6, he says that Jesus is the chief cornerstone. Did you see that in your Bible? Now, how many of you know what a cornerstone is of a building? Some of you may know and some of you may not know. You know, we don't use cornerstones so much anymore. When they get ready to build a house, they lay it out. They put up the what they call batter boards, and they square up that house. They get a plumb, and they get the instrument, and they make a line in one direction and a line in another direction so they can get that foundation laid correctly. Because if you don't get the foundation square, and you don't get it, I mean, perfectly square and lined up, everything else that you build on the foundation is going to be off.
Amen.
If you've ever seen a foundation that wasn't square, you'll find out when they go to put the walls up, they have to put fake walls to square up the walls that weren't square.
Amen.
They have to cut the sheetrock at angles to make it line up. They have to cut the roof decking on trapezoids to make them all interlocked. And when you look, you know, and try to put your cabinets in, they don't fit because the walls aren't lined up. Do you understand? It's very important. It's very important to have the right foundation. I think most of us understand that. But the foundation here that he's talking about is Jesus being the chief cornerstone. In other words, Jesus was a perfect cornerstone. In ancient times, they didn't use the batter boards. They used a hewn out perfect stone that was square at a right angle of 90 degrees, and they would take a line off from each direction and plumb that to begin their building. And that's why Jesus is called the chief cornerstone, because that was the most important stone in the building. Because if that stone was not right, if that stone was not perfect, then the whole foundation, whatever you put on the building, would be wrong.
Amen.
So Jesus is not only the chief cornerstone, but the Bible called him precious. Now here's what happened. God is building a spiritual house. How important is that stone? See, God had to send Jesus in the flesh, and he became a man, and we understand that part of it, but he was a perfect man. He was without sin. He was without spot. He was without blemish. He was the perfect cornerstone. And then God said, I'm going to use Jesus, the perfect cornerstone, or the chief cornerstone, and I'm going to build on that foundation with other stones. I'm going to build up my spiritual house. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
And so he needed somebody that was perfect, somebody that could be laid out, and that other living stones could be added to that so God could build up his spiritual house. And so go back to verse 4 if you would, please. It says, now coming to him as a living stone. Say living stone. I'm glad that Jesus is alive this morning. Somebody say amen. The church and the foundation is a living thing. Jesus is alive this morning, and we need to have life in the church. I can't speak for all churches, but I'm glad in this church that it is connected to Jesus, and Jesus is alive. And in the life of the church, listen to me, in the life of the church, it's connected to that life. Because I don't know, I mean, I can't speak for every church, but I know there are some churches that are not alive. I mean, if you have to, you know, hold your eyelids open this morning and doodle on your paper to stay awake, I mean, no, there's not too much life in that church. Something is wrong if you're having trouble staying awake while this preacher is preaching this morning, because I'm alive in Jesus, and Jesus is alive in me, and this church is connected to the foundation of the chief cornerstone. So Jesus is a living stone, full of life, and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ ought to be full of life. I mean, we don't want to go every week to a funeral. Church ought to not be a place where it's all doom and gloom and everybody look like they've been baptized and eaten prunes. And I'm telling you, we need to have a smile on our face. We need to have a spring on our step. I mean, we need to look up from whence cometh our help. Amen. We know things don't always go great, but we serve the great one. Amen. We know things are not always going to be smooth, but he said he'd cause us to ride on the high places. Amen. He would smooth out the valleys. So what we have to do is make sure that we're connected to Jesus. Praise God. I know, sometimes we're in Mexico, we'll go visit these big cathedral-looking, these parochias, all these big churches. I mean, just beautiful architecture and the magnificence of how they constructed those things. And I know we were in one not too long ago, and I'm walking down there, and I see these stones with names on them. I thought, well, that's neat. Some people in the church just bought stones and placed them and paved the church. And then we got up there, they told us, no, that's people that we have buried here. That's the names. Well, no wonder those churches are dead. They're walking over dead people in a church with dead people buried. I said the church of Jesus ought to be alive. Amen. We're not dead, but we are alive. Praise God. And there needs to be life in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So first of all, we find out that Jesus is a living stone. It says, now look at this, because here's the next thing. It says, rejected indeed by men. So we see that Jesus is the chief cornerstone. Jesus is a living stone. He's not a dead stone. And we see that he is a rejected stone. Now, Let me ask you something. Why do you think anybody would reject Jesus? I mean, he came to the earth and all he did was good towards men. All he did was heal the sick, make the deaf to hear, the lame to walk, the blind to see, feed the need. I mean, why would anybody reject Jesus when all he came to do was to seek and to save those that were lost? It doesn't make sense, does it? But yet the Bible says that he was a rejected stone. That what people don't understand is that they reject him because they think they can build their life apart or on their own foundation. Now, are you with me? Because, you know, as good as life can be, how many know life can come at you real quick? Like that commercial. And sometimes bad things can really happen to good people. And we, you know, people get to depending on their physical life. But, you know, sometimes the physical life can break down. Sometimes people, you know, think that their relationships are intact, but sometimes relationships begin to break down. Are you with me? Sometimes people build their foundation on their financial wealth because their finances is good. And I believe we ought to prosper, and we make that confession. Money cometh easily and frequently. But there's also another side of that, that money can goeth. And just as easy as it can come, it can go. Just as easy as the oil prices are down one day, it can boost up the next day. Are you with me? Just as easy as the stock market is going smooth one day, it can be down the next day. Are you with me? You can have a value on your house and all of a sudden economy changes and the value of your property has decreased. So we can't focus in on the physical things of what we have as being the foundation of our life. Jesus was rejected by men because of their pride, because of their disobedience, because of their ignorance, because they're thinking that something else that they can build on will sustain their life. But we find out real quick, if we live long enough, we don't have the strength inside of us as we face things in life, as the issues of life come at us. We don't have strength enough on the inside of us to stand against the things that come at us. We're not strong enough in and of ourselves. We need a helper. Come on, somebody. We need somebody that will reach down and pull us back up. We need somebody that will encourage us when we are discouraged. We need a friend when we've lost all of our other friends that will stick closer than a brother. And so we have to realize if you live long enough, you're going to go through some battles. And if you go through those battles without the right support, without the right help, then you're going to find yourself sometime out there on the island by yourself. And how many know if you're on the island by yourself, it's going to get pretty lonely at times. Thank God you're not alone this morning. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. Thank God for the greater one that lives on the inside of us. Now, you don't have to go there, but look, just write down Matthew chapter 21. They can put it up there right quick. In verse 42, it says, "This stone is the stone which the builders rejected." He's quoting the same thing there, "and have become the chief cornerstone." But here's the part I want you to see in verse 44. It says, "Whoever falls on this stone," this is Jesus talking, he said, "will be broken. But if this stone falls on you, you will be ground to powder." Did you hear what he just said? Now, this is the gospel. This is the gospel right here. You cannot be neutral, listen to me, when it comes to believing on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't be in no man's land and think that all roads and all paths lead to God. Jesus said, "You will either fall on the rock and be broken, or the rock will fall on you and you will be dissolved into powder." Amen. Now, which would you rather do? See? Now, let me just show you some of these things. You're not going to go to all these verses, but let me just quote some of them to you, okay, this morning? Because I like the Gospels because they talk and they give us a revelation of who Jesus is. I want to quote the first one. And Peter, when he stood up, this is what he quoted in 1 Peter right here. But in Acts, you find it all the way through the Bible. In Acts chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. Just put that one up there too, because I want you to stay there, because I want to talk some more about that. It says, "This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone." Now listen to verse 12. He says, "Nor is there salvation in any other." There is no salvation in any other. Are y'all here? Okay, it says, "For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we can or must be saved." There is no other name by which we can be saved outside of Jesus. That tells us that Mohammed cannot save you. It tells us that Buddha cannot save you. It tells us that it doesn't matter if you're a Baptist or you're a Catholic. It does not matter, because that cannot save you. Only the Lord Jesus Christ and believing in that name can save you. I told you I was going to talk a little bit about Jesus, because what happens is, and I feel sorry for some of these people today, even some pastors, people like Oprah Winfrey and some politicians will tell you that all religions are good and that all will lead you to the path to God. Can I just say that is a lie? That is a lie. We have to stand up and say, look, what does the Bible say? Just because we're a Baptist, just because we're a Catholic, just because we're a Methodist, is that going to save us? No. I mean, listen, I grew up in a Baptist church, and they told us, listen, we're going to heaven when the rapture happens first. And I asked them why, and they said, because the dead in Christ shall rise first. You heard that before. Come on. Everybody say, God bless the Baptist. No, I mean, look, we're not making fun of anybody. I'm just saying, don't get caught up in what some of these ungodly people are telling people today. You know, they don't get in a church where the foundation is based on the chief cornerstone. We've got to come back and build on what the Word of God says, not what some man says or what our denomination says. We got to come back and understand either we fall on the rock or the rock will fall on us. And if the rock falls on us, we'll be purified into powder. Amen. Are you with me? All right. So, it doesn't matter what you believe, we will tell you, oh, yes, it does. I said, oh, yes, it does. Now, if we read our Bible, now just listen to this, okay? Romans tells us that Jesus is our righteousness. 1 Corinthians says that Jesus is our sanctifier. You get a revelation of who Jesus is first. He is our sanctifier, and it's Jesus that causes us to become holy. You say, why is it important to become holy? Because the Bible says, without holiness, no man will see God. Right. Oh, come on, somebody. It says in 1 Corinthians that Jesus is our sanctifier. 2 Corinthians says Jesus is our comforter in the middle of our storms and our trials. Thank God. Galatians tells us that Jesus has fulfilled the law for us. We don't have to keep the law. The law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Amen. Ephesians tells us that Jesus is the head of the church and we are the body of Christ. Philippians tells us that we can rejoice in the Lord always, because we find out that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Colossians, you read that Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we don't have to worship saints. We don't have to worship idols. We don't have to worship religion. Are you with me? Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and Jesus is the one that we worship, and we only worship Him. Thessalonians tells us that Jesus is the soon coming King. It tells us that we will be changed in the twinkling of an eye, in a second, in a moment of time, and be caught up to live with Him forever. Are you with me? Timothy says, we read that there is one God and one mediator between God and man, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews tells us that Jesus is our great high priest. If you're discouraged, you can come to Jesus, who is the high priest and the apostle of your faith in the time of need, and He will be there because He is not a priest past the feeling of your infirmities. Oh, somebody say amen. Amen. Hebrews says Jesus is not only your great high priest, but that He ever lives to make intercession for you and I. Peter tells us, and we read here, Jesus is our not just cornerstone, but He is the chief cornerstone. And then John says that you read in John that not only does God love us and He gave Jesus for us, but in the little books of John, it tells us that Jesus is the lover of our soul. And then you get to Revelation, it says Jesus is the bright and the morning star, the lily of the valley, the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the earth. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He's the beginning. Listen, He's the end. He's the author. He's the finisher of our faith. He's the soon coming King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Well, there is no other name. You've got to get a revelation of Jesus, and you won't listen to all that other trash. Shout Jesus, somebody. Shout Jesus. That's why we can't build a church on some personality. We can't build a church on how big our church is, or how big our TV audience is, or how big anything we are. It has to be built on the foundation of Jesus. Amen. You will have people that will preach to you, and you'll have people that sound cool and sound neat, and they can prance and they can dance and they can turn red in the face like I do sometimes, but I'm telling you, we got to come back and stand on Jesus. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. He's a living stone, and He's a rejected stone. But we don't reject Him. Amen? Amen. We receive Him as absolute. So, this is Jesus. Now I want to show you the other side, or who you are. Look at verse 5. I'm still in 2 Peter. Are you there? Yeah. Because Jesus, it says, was a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. Now look at verse 5. It says, you also. Did you hear that? Hey, on the back row, did y'all hear me? Yes. You also. Point your finger and say, me too. Yeah. Point your finger at somebody else and say, you too. In other words, you also. Now look at this. It says, you also are what? Oh, you also are living stones, not dead stones, not dead in a dead church, but alive unto God. Just like Jesus said, I was dead, but I am alive forevermore. Praise God. I mean, it's great to be in a church that's alive. Amen. That we have live people worshiping a living God. Because we are built on the living Word. Amen. The living Word of God. He said, you also, man, He said, you also are a living stone. Now here we read this. What are you? Some of you probably saying, well, I'm really nothing. Well, God, you should be very glad that God doesn't look at you the way you look at yourself. Thank God. But here's what I found out. The Lord Jesus is the main stone. God the Father sent Him into this earth. He was the perfect sacrifice of God Almighty. Listen to this. Who knew no sin, who became sin, but he knew no sin. He was the very righteousness of God Almighty in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ, who became that perfect cornerstone. The Bible says he's the chief or the principal cornerstone, and there is no other foundation we can lay if we don't lay on that foundation.
Amen.
But then God says, I'm going to build a spiritual house. And now he says, you are living stones.
Amen.
Now here's what I found out about living stones. Because really, you have to dig deep in the dirt to get the... Let me get away from that side. He ain't got to adjust it. I said you have to dig way down deep in the dirt to get to the precious stones. No, you didn't get that. How many of you know God can dig down real deep and get the value stones? Now, some of you need to catch what I'm about to say. Because what I found out, the dirtier the stone, the deeper, the harder you have to work to get to it, the more value it has. Mm-hmm. I said, it has more value. And some of you were way down there. Some of you were way down in the pit. Like David said, you brought me up out of the pit, Psalms 40, and you established my feet on a solid rock. Some of you were down in the dirt. Some of you were down in the muck and the mire of life. Some of you were on drugs. Some of you were in adultery. Some of you were separated. Some of you were in sin and alcoholism and drug addiction. But God dug down deep and He cleansed you by His blood, washed you off, and made you a living stone. And He set you on the chief cornerstone, which was Jesus. Now, here's what I'm saying. First of all, you are a living stone. But look what it says. Because it says, not only are you a living stone, he said, but you are being built up a spiritual house. Now, what I've learned about living stone, if you look up the Greek word there, the lithos, which means a valued or a dear or honorable or precious. That's really what it means, precious. Then it's talking about what we are, what God has made us once He has got the filth and the dirt of this earth off of us. Now you know as well as I know, if you have a precious stone, you don't hide it. You ladies know, if your man gives you some engagement ring with a big old diamond, you got it held up there where everybody can see. Come on. Where you got it in your ears. You got it around your neck. You got it around your wrist. I mean, you hold out those precious stones because they are valuable and they are dear to you, and you want everybody to see them, and you don't mind showing them off. Well, let me just say this. God does not use junk stones. God does not build. Or y'all are not listening to this. God does not build with junk. I know some of you are. You got to go back and look at your Bible, okay? What does the Bible say? The heart of God reminds us that we are precious. Listen to me. We are precious unto God. Now you can build a house out of junk. I saw some of those houses that got swept completely away, build them right out over the ocean. I had to question somebody's sense about that. But nevertheless, I'm just saying, listen to me. You can build a house out of cheap lumber. You could build it out of crates. But if you build a temple, you don't build it out of junk lumber. You don't build it out of discounted lumber. You build the temple out of the best, and you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now listen to this. Listen to this. God is not going to build His temple, who we are, with junk. This is not Little Rascals Clubhouse here. We're not talking about some shack by the railroad track. We're talking about something that is valuable and dear to God. You go back and you look when Solomon built the temple, you'll find out that he did not use anything cheap in the temple. You'll find out that it was all inlaid and it was gold laid. Just the nails, listen to me, were gold 20-ounce nails that would be worth $20,000 a piece today. God used nothing but value. He didn't go down to Home Depot to get his building materials. Are you with me? He dug way down deep and He cleansed the muck and the mire. He cleansed the filth and the dirt and the sin and the ugliness. He cleansed you off and translated you out of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. Hallelujah. Are you with me? We're not talking about the three little pigs house here. We're talking about the house of God, the spiritual house. You go read Revelations 21, you'll find out all these precious stones he talks about in Revelations 21 and 19. Don't turn it, but you can go back and read it later. Talks about sapphire and jasper and onyx, all these different bright colors, blue and green and black and emerald. See, it tells us that God doesn't care what color we... Come on, somebody. He doesn't care what color we are, red, yellow, black, or white. We are all what? Precious. Come on. We are all... I'm about to preach to you if you just get excited. We are all precious in His sight. So don't get hung up on what color you are. Bless God. God has picked the color of the rainbows for His house. Are you with me? So, who is a precious stone? You are a precious. You are a precious stone. You are valuable. You are dear to God. Why don't you act like it? Why don't you see yourself the way God sees you? Amen. Quit worrying about what somebody else says about you and the way somebody else sees you. Start seeing yourself the way God sees you. Come on, somebody. So, first of all, God says we are living stones. Say living stones. And we are precious. And in second, in verse 5, it tells us that we are being built up a spiritual house. God rescues from sin. He rescues from the old life. He rescues us from the filth and sets us on the foundation right there with His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then God has a plan. God has, now listen to this, God has a perfect place that you fit. I think we ought to read this. Just hold your finger because I'm going to come back. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. I want to read this one to you. Because Peter had a revelation that Jesus was the chief cornerstone. Well, he heard Jesus say it. Jesus quoted it from the psalmist. But here in Ephesians, the apostle Paul had the same revelation. He said, look, having been built up. Are you there in Ephesians chapter 2? I want you to look at that one. We'll come right back. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 20. It says, having been built on the foundation. There it is. Say foundation. Of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ Himself being what? There it is again. The chief cornerstone. In whom the whole... How important is the chief cornerstone? The chief cornerstone has to be exact. It has to be right. There can be no error in it, because if there's any error in the chief cornerstone, then there's going to be errors all through the building. Are you with me? So that's why God digs deep down to get you as a living stone, precious unto Him. Now look what it says, because He's building this building. It says, in whom the whole building being fitted together. Say fitted.
Fitted.
Now there's an interesting word too, because really the word fitted is a precise term. In other words, again, you know, I can swing a hammer. I can nail up two befores. I can make a tree house. I remember one time, real long time ago, you painted a picture. My wife painted a picture on a burlap on a canvas, and she needed a frame. We didn't have a lot of money. I said, "Look, I can make one of those frames. I just go down to the hardware store and buy me a little miter box and a miter saw, and buy me some framing material, and I can, you know, mold, and I can make that frame for that, the big old thing." And I did, and I sawed that thing, and I lifted that thing up, and my goodness, you could see daylight through all four corners of that thing. I think she felt sorry for me. She went ahead and put the picture on it, but later it was up in the attic, never to be seen again. I'm talking about a highly crafted skill. In other words, if you ever see, it's like a furniture maker. Somebody that knows how to do the dovetails and the dado joints and all the, you know, the dowels and everything that go in and form a perfect piece of furniture. You look at your furniture, hopefully you look at your furniture at home, you don't see the joints and you don't see the splits in it and you don't see where they tried to splice it together with Elmer's glue. Are you with me? Well, God has a perfect fit for you. Don't you understand, if God chose you and God called you a living stone, that He has a perfect fit for you, a perfect church for you, so that you will fit in the building, so that you can grow up, and so you can connect, and so you can serve? Do you understand? When Solomon built the temple, have you ever read that when they built the temple, there was no sound of the stones being laid to construct the temple? It was complete silence. You know why? Because all of the stone had been hand-hewn, handcrafted out somewhere else and brought into the site. And all of those stones fit perfectly together. They were milled exactly. And that is a picture of how God sets us in to the body of Christ. Every one of you are hand-picked and hand-selected and hewn out there so that God can bring you in here so that you can be built up a spiritual house. Wow! Say wow! Start looking at yourself the way God sees you. You're part of God's building on this foundation. It's Jesus, the chief cornerstone. Now go back, because we're talking about, first of all, that we are being built a spiritual house. Then here's the next one in verse 5. Remember I told you to underline the fact that you're a holy priest, holy priesthood. Now listen to me. God calls you a priest. Are y'all here? Yes. Now again, God looks, you say, well, if God followed me around, He wouldn't call me a priest. Well, what do you think about when you think of a priest? Do you think of somebody dressed in a black, you know, thing and a white collar turned around? Or do you think about what God called a priest? See, Jesus said to us that He has made us kings and priests. You are part of here a holy priesthood. Read it with me. He said, not only are you living stones in verse 5, and not only, number 2, are you building up a spiritual house, it says that you are a holy priesthood. Now, when you talk about priest, you're talking about somebody that was sanctified and set apart to do God's work in God's house. Amen. Now, catch this. A priest had to be born into the family before he could be a priest. Are you born in the family of God?
Yes.
The priest had to be anointed by God before he could serve in the house of the Lord. Are you anointed by God?
Yes.
He had the blood, the sacrifice, smeared on his forehead, dabbed in his ear, put on his thumb, and smeared on his feet. Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have you smeared the blood of Jesus from head to toe all over you to sanctify, to cleanse you? The priest was to sanctify himself out of or apart from the world. In other words, he was to not be a part of the world, and he was not to marry somebody of the world. He was not supposed to be involved with anything that would pull his heart or take his heart away from God. Are you here? He was not to be unequally yoked with any person or anything that would take his heart away from God. Well, God has called you a holy priesthood. Holy priesthood means not that you're perfect. God is not looking for perfect stones. He's looking for ugly stones that he can make perfect. He's looking for the imperfection so that he can make perfected. Are you with me? So quit being righteous here on me just a second, or self-righteous, thinking there's anything you can do. The only thing you can do is surrender to Jesus and let Jesus cleanse you and raise you up by His own power and wash you by His own blood.
Amen.
We have to understand that a priest was set apart to do the work of God. He was in a unique place and had a unique ministry. Every priest brought a sacrifice unto the Lord. The priest gave tithe and brought a sacrifice unto the Lord. Do you give tithe?
Yes.
Do you bring a sacrifice unto the Lord? Do you bring an offering unto the Lord?
Yes.
Do you worship God with it? See, it says that he brought the sacrifice unto the Lord. He gave his offering and he had a place to serve because he was fit in that church,
Amen.
In that temple. In other words, every priest finds where they fit. Every priest finds where they serve. Some priests brought the wood for the fire. Some priests brought the water for the fire. Some priests brought the anointing oil. Some priests cleaned the altar, and so on and so forth. But every priest brought an offering to the Lord, and every priest saw they had a specific function in the temple.
Amen.
God says you are a holy priesthood. Do you see what a priest is? And God called you a holy priesthood. You have a fit. I mean, don't have a fit, you fit. Are you in me? Because we have a unique church. I really believe, I know we're filled with nuts and flakes and fruits, but we are unique because God has fit us here. And you know when you fit, don't you?
Yes.
I'm looking at a bunch of family here. They moved off and they said, "Pastor, tell us if there's another church like this one." I said, "Well, I'll tell you some churches, but you're not going to find one like this one."
Amen.
Can I hear an amen back here?
Amen.
You know why? Because there is not another one like this.
Amen.
This is unique.
Amen.
And you fit. You see, when you come into a church like this, you know whether you fit or not. Because if you don't fit, you won't be back.
Hallelujah.
Now, I'm not putting anybody else down. I'm not putting any other church. I'm saying, when you come into this place is unique. There may be some more unique ones out there, but God knows where to bring you into so that you can be a fit for that temple that He's building up.
Amen.
Thank God for the local church.
Amen.
Thank God for Jesus being the chief cornerstone of this local church. Thank God that the foundation of our doctrine and the teaching is built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. If the devil don't like it, he can lump it. I said, we are a smiling church. We are a friendly church. We reach out to our neighbor. We help people. Are you with me? We teach people how to stand on the Word of God. We teach people how to worship God, how to break out of the bondage and the system of the world. We do not teach that all roads lead to heaven. We don't teach that you can worship God any way you want to. Come on. We don't teach that there is any other name by which men can be saved except by Jesus Christ. Are you with me? We don't teach fairy tales and wives' tales. We don't teach things that are contrary to the Word of God. Are you with me? I said, we are unique here, and you know when you come in here, there's something different about this place. You say, are you bragging on the church? I'm bragging on Jesus. We are what we are by the grace of Almighty God. I wish I could stand up here and tell you all churches are created equal. But they're not. And you know that. I said, you know that. You know that. And so, we are built and being built up a spiritual house. Now look at the last one here. In verse 9, he said, not only are you a holy priest, but now look at this. Look at this. He said, you are a royal priesthood. Did you see that in verse 9? He said, you are a chosen generation and you are a royal priesthood. Now what is that? This introduces us to the concept of authority. Say authority. If I'm in a church, I'm a living stone. If I'm in a church built on the foundation of Jesus, the chief cornerstone, I'm a living stone. I'm a spiritual house. I'm a holy priest. See, let me just stop there too. You know, you don't want to just build a church of sipping, tipping, dipping, you know, party mongers out till 2 or 3 o'clock, come in here and try, you know, we're building up a people. A priest was holy. A priest was pure. A priest's hands were clean. Come on! We don't want to just build quantity, but quality. I'm stressing to you, quality. Because you can build a house out of wood, hay, and stubble. We found that out. But God, Paul said, a wise master builder builds on gold, silver, and precious stones. Amen. You be the precious stones. Are you here?
Amen.
Well, you want to be part of the spiritual house of God? Do you want to be growing into purity and holiness? He said He's translated you out of that darkness. Do you want to stay in darkness? You want to stay with the Aranyas and the spiders? You want to stay down with the pigs and the slop? Come on, are you here? All right, come on up. I said, come on up. There's nothing wrong with being holy. There's nothing wrong with living a pure life. There's nothing wrong with, hey, living your life apart instead of joining in with the ungodly crowd. Just to look cool and to look slick. Hey, come on. So fourth, am I there yet? Yeah. You are a royal, come on, you are a royal priesthood. Now, this speaks of authority. You know why? Because now it tells me that I have the royal blood. I am part of the family of God. I am washed in the pure blood of Jesus that is more precious, come on, than anything else. Are you with me? It is the incorruptible Word, the seed of the living God, that I've been born again. And I have authority now as part of a royal priesthood because the royal blood flows through my veins. The blood of Emmanuel. And Jesus said, "Behold, I give you," he was talking to his disciples. He said, "I give you power." Do I have any disciples? He said, I got to make sure y'all get it. He said, "I give you power over all the power of the enemy." He said, "You will trample on those serpents. You will trample on those serpents, and nothing by any means shall hurt you." And if you didn't get that, he said, "I will build," Jesus said, "I will build my church on the rock." He wasn't talking about Pope Peter. He was talking about the revelation of Jesus Christ. Once you find out who Jesus is, then you can find out who you are in Jesus. And what else did he say? He said, and when you find that out, he said, the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. And I can tell you this, Satan tries everything he knows to try. For some 2,000, he tried for 4,000 years to stop the Son of God from ever manifesting in this earth, but he failed.
Amen.
I said he failed.
Yes, he did.
Had the princes of this world known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Well, I guess they would not have if they found out that Jesus would go into the ground being the first fruit of many brethren, and God would raise him back up by the Holy Ghost. And if the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he will make you alive. Say alive. You're part of a living stone. Be alive. Well, I said, well, a royal priesthood, a church that has authority. You watch those Olympics, in China and Beijing. I think about how 4,000 years Satan tried to stop Jesus from coming. He failed. Now, for the last 2,000 years plus, since Pentecost, he's been trying to stop the church. He couldn't stop Jesus. Now he wants to try to stop the living stones, which is being built on Jesus. But you know what? He's going to fail. I said he is failing. For 60 years, he tried to suppress Christianity in China. Listen to me. Didn't allow any church of Jesus Christ. Everything had to be underground, out of sight, hidden. Do you know what the latest report is in China? There is over 100 million Christians in China today meeting. You can go back to the Soviet Union, Russia, and all this. Listen, there's churches there. They're on fire for God. I mean, they are on fire for the Lord. They're not sitting there in some dead. I mean, they don't fear for their life because God has not given them the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Listen to this. I heard a story about the king of Sparta. Listen, the king of Sparta, you know, they had a way back, they had a beautiful city in the ancient time. You've seen some of these movies, the Spartans, the 300 and all that. But, you know, all of our, well, let me just tell you the story. This man came and visited the king of Sparta, and he said, my, what a beautiful city you have here. And the king of Sparta said, yeah, did you see our walls? And the guy said, no. He said, I've walked all around. I've looked all around this city. He said, I didn't see no walls. And the king took him by the hand and said, hey, look way over there in that field over there. And there was a whole field full of an army of soldiers, high discipline, highly trained. And they were being over there in that area doing their training. And the king of Sparta said, those are my walls. Are you here? See, it's not about the sheetrock and the paint. It's not about the brick. It's not about the carpet. It's not about the TV equipment. It's not about anything physically. Thank God for all of this. Thank God we have a local church that is unique, that is a place that we can come and we can join ourselves together and learn and be blessed of God. Amen? Yeah. Praise God for that. We give God glory for that. Praise God. We're not out there in the elements. We're not out there in the heat and the humidity and the mosquitoes. We got not, y'all get to sit down while I stand up and sweat. Air conditioning. Say, thank God for air conditioning. Woo. Ho. Ha. Hmm. But you know what? It's really not about that. It's about you. It's about you. God is building you, and He's putting you into a place, first of all, where you connect. How many know you've got to be connected? Amen. Say, what do we connect to in the local church? You connect to the chief cornerstone. Amen. So that you can be laid in Zion. Amen. On the foundation of Jesus. Amen. But you know what? The next thing you've got to do is grow. He said, desire. I'll talk to you about this next week. You've got to desire this word, the sincere milk of the word that you can grow. You say, well, what do I have to grow in? You got to grow in holiness. You got to grow in pureness. You got to grow in grace. You got to grow in love. You got to grow in forgiveness. You got to grow in love for one another. Love. Yeah. You got to love the unlovable, the ugly.
Yes.
The good, the bad, and the ugly. Hello? So you got to connect. You got to grow. But then what else? Once you begin to grow, now you can serve. Why do people try to serve God before they grow? Why do they try to grow before they connect? You see, God has a perfect plan. You ever see anybody wishy-washy? Start out serving God and then they're not there anymore? Hey, come on now. Stand up with me on your feet. I know you've been sitting there a while.